This is the Family Captain Podcast. I'm your host, I'm your coach, John Michael Clark. The audio you're about to hear was originally recorded for the Family Captain Facebook group, but I brought that audio out here to the podcast for you to enjoy. What's up, brothers? Welcome to the Family Captain Live. It's Wednesday, 3 p.m., and I'm coming to you from the Deltaville Studios right here, home of me and the Clark household. Good to see you. I'd like to welcome you. If this is your first time joining me, joining us on one of the live shows, I want to fill you in and tell you what we're doing. Every single week, we do this show where I'm talking to you about family leadership. I'm talking to you about sex and marriage. That's what the Family Captain's all about. There's a lot more that we zoom in on, but that's the big idea. We want to answer the questions about what does it look like to practically lead your family with strength and love, and we want to give guys a platform, a place to start from. So maybe you've had a vision, maybe you've seen the other side of the river, but you don't have a bridge to get there. This group is a place where you can come, where you can learn, where you can grow, where you can thrive. You can actually get fellowship, encouragement, and biblical help around the idea of your high calling, which is to lead your family with strength and love. So if you believe that you are the head of your wife, and you believe that the Bible teaches that this is your responsibility to lead with strength and love as we teach, or the three legs of leadership as I lay them out, compassion, responsibility, and authority, if any of that resonates or rings true with you, and you love Christ, and you love your wife, and you love your kids, and you also think that you're allowed and commanded to also love yourself, I know it's a crazy idea. The world is all about like self-love and self-care, which weirds a bunch of Christians out. And then you've got a bunch of Christians who are like, self-loathing, that's the way of the gospel. No, crucifixion of the flesh most definitely is, but self-loathing most definitely would not be. So if you believe that you're supposed to love your neighbor as you love, what are you doing, Jim Michael? Yeah, quoting Jesus, you caught me. As you love yourself, then yes, there is a way that everybody can win, and it's obedience to God's word. It is the biblical model where a man understands his calling as a husband, as a father, and begins to rise up inside of it. It is a high calling. It is a powerful thing. It is a beautiful thing. It's something that you should not apologize for. So here at the Family Captain, we talk about that stuff. What does it look like to lead well without the fear of the accusations that are going to come to say that you're a tyrant or that you hate women or any of the other nonsense or straw man arguments or caricatures or fears that people have, because God's way is best and it causes good fruit to come and causes everybody to win. That's what we're about here at the Family Captain. So that's what we're going to get into. As you've already seen, we are talking about slaying dragons. So there's dragons in everybody's life. There's things that we have to face. There's things that we have to deal with. There are challenges. There are problems. And that's what we're referencing. I talk to guys all the time who are facing different kinds of dragons, different kinds of challenges. But I've noticed a few that are consistently emerging, a few that constantly show up. So we're going to dig into those in just a minute here. So I told you earlier, today we're talking about these three dragons that we're going to slay so you can move yourself, your marriage, and your family forward. So if you want to be the greatest man that your wife and kids have ever known, if you want to be the man that your wife wants to have sex with instead of the man she has to have sex with, if you want to lead with joyful confidence while you sense God's pleasure, then you're in the right place, because that's what we're all about here at the Family Captain. So at the end of the show today, I'm also going to give you an opportunity. If you want to work with me personally, you can do that, or we can talk about that, I should say. It's not a guarantee that you can do that, but we can talk about it and see if the Family Captain program is a good fit. So you're in the Family Captain group. You're going to get tons of helpful content, tons of good stuff, free all the time, week after week, to bless you, to help you, to equip you. But you may say, man, I want the fast track. I want more of this. I want the training that is going to pour jet fuel on top of my... I've already got good intentions. I've already got a few good ideas. But man, how do I get this thing done quickly and transform myself and therefore my marriage and therefore my family culture? If you're interested in any of that and you want to talk about that fast track, we'll do that at the end of the call or at the end of the show here. And we'll see where we go from there. So the three dragons that you have to slay. So first of all, before we get into the three, let's think about the idea of a dragon. I've heard Jordan Peterson talk a little bit about dragons and myths and how, you know, a good myth, there's always a dragon. Now, you and I know why myths always have dragons, because these dragons are pointing to a truth, the ultimate truth, that there literally is a dragon. There is the serpent. There is the snake. There is Satan. So Genesis is not myth. Genesis is not Oh, that might have, could have, kind of happened. No, Genesis literally happened. And because Genesis is true, all stories are now drawn from God's big story. This is why you and I, this is why we love the movies that we love. This is why the things that stir us in the way that they do. It's why when the hero, we want a movie where the hero sacrifices himself, but we also need to see some glimpse, some form of resurrection at the end of that movie for it to be complete. That is the Christ type. So the Christ type is the truth, capital T truth. And at the same time, there's a dragon. There is an enemy who has been overcome and who will continuously be defeated by God's power for all eternity. In this sense, though, we're looking at dragons in a little bit different light. This is not Satan himself, although we do walk in victory over him. We overcome him by the word of God and by the word of our testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. So that's how we're going to continue to resist the devil, and he will flee from us as we walk by faith, crucifying the flesh, like we mentioned a few minutes ago, and not walking according to the flesh, but walking according to the Spirit. That's all good. But when it comes to family leadership, when it comes to sex and marriage, when it comes to me being the man that God has called me to be, what does that mean? What am I supposed to do, and where do I begin? I've noticed there's three big dragons that a lot of times keep guys huddled up in their village. So instead of going out and expanding the kingdom, imagine this, right? We've got the kingdom, it's under attack. There's three dragons out there. They're flying around, they burn stuff up, they come, they go. Man, it's so nice when they leave for a little while because we get some rest. But we're just not sure what to do about these things because I don't know how to kill a dragon. So I guess I'll just sit around and let the dragon kill me because I'm just going to keep leaning on that excuse of I don't know how to kill a dragon. I've never killed a dragon before. There's not a manual for killing dragons. Nobody's ever taught me how to kill a dragon. Well, those aren't terrible excuses, except that they are, and that what's the other option? Like, you fight the dragon and possibly die, or you wait for the dragon to just kill you a long, slow death, or kill your family, or destroy the world that the Lord put you into. So the Lord gave Adam a garden, and Adam let the snake, he let the dragon come in. In the same way, I have that same temptation. You have that same temptation. And we're going to look at that here for a few minutes. So the first dragon you must slay, and this one goes back to Adam in the garden. The first dragon you must slay is named apathy. Apathy is this first big, ugly dragon that you've got to deal with to kill. You kill him, and then all of a sudden the others, they're going to come a little bit easier. We're going to have a little bit more experience. We're going to know what we're doing and how to kill a dragon. But this is the hardest one to kill, I think. Apathy. What else is apathy? Apathy could be said as indifference. Apathy could be called laziness. Apathy could be called passivity. And this is where I find many men are stuck. And the problem with this one is we've gotten very clever at keeping ourselves here, but not blaming ourselves for staying here. It's always somebody else's fault. It's always some external thing. It's not my fault, which of course come, we get it honest, right, from our first father Adam. Lord, it's not me. It's this woman that you gave me, right? Because God comes in the garden. Who does he ask for, right? God comes in the garden. He says, who ate it first? That's what I want to know. Who ate it first? That's exactly what he says, right? No, that's not what he says. He says, where are you, Adam? Adam is held responsible, Old Testament and New, for the sin, for the fall. But it was Adam's indifference, Adam's passivity, Adam's effeminacy, if you will, Adam's laziness. And you and I have made many excuses to keep ourselves, to let this dragon of apathy continue to thrive and destroy the world God has put us in. God gave Adam a garden. He has given you a garden, your household. And brother, we'll talk in a few minutes about another dragon that you've got to slay. But your view of your household has got to get so much bigger. Instead of, yeah, we're just another generic American family. We're just trying to out here make it and see what happens this week. That is so small. Well, no, we're going to be a generic Christian family, and we'll just see what happens this week. It's still too small. But unfortunately, before we ever even get into vision, before we even get into vision and the big things that God has called you to, a lot of times guys end up stuck because they're not even moving. They're not moving forward in any way. They're not exercising dominion over their garden. They're not exercising, they're not subduing the world around them. Their life is a mess. Their schedule is a mess. Their marriage is a mess. Their kids are a mess. Their house is a mess. Their back seat is a mess. Their drawers are a mess. Their closet's a mess. Why? Because all these things are outward pieces of fruit, just revealing the root, because they are a mess, and it's easy to stay stuck because, man, where do I begin? So I get into passivity. I get into laziness. And I tell myself things like, so what does this sound like? You may be wondering, is this me? Am I apathetic? I don't know. Do you say stuff like, man, marriage is so hard? Do you say stuff like, man, I'm just trying to make it through the week? Do you say stuff like, man, she won't do her part? Do you say stuff like, man, I'm just so exhausted? Do you say stuff like, man, I just don't know where to begin? Do you find yourself thinking that way, feeling that way? These justifications, that they sound reasonable. You're doing better than Fred anyway, right? Fred, that guy's a total jerk. He's like, neglects his family. You take your family to church on Sundays, daggone it. And Fred doesn't even do that. So King Jesus should be pleased because you know what? You're doing better than Fred. Sure, you may play Wordle all the time and Candy Crush and whatever other games that they're popular right now. I don't know if Candy Crush is popular anymore. I don't know if Wordle's popular anymore. Thank the Lord. I haven't seen any more Wordle posts. I think I blocked everybody who's playing Wordle. I was like, I don't need this Melvin energy right now. But that's what apathy looks like. That's what this dragon looks like. It's a dragon that says, you're good enough. It's fine. Everything's fine. It's fine, man. It's fine. Like, this is as good as it gets. That's another lie that this dragon will whisper to you. It's good enough, dude. Don't, like, be some kind of hero. Life is not that epic, okay? You're not the grand hero in some big story. How dare you, by the way? Jesus is the hero, brother. Jesus is the hero. You ought to just be thankful to just hold the door at the pearly gates. Man, that sounds super humble, except that it's super stupid and super unbiblical. Because he didn't put us as a doorkeeper at the gates. Now, whatever he would have done with us would have been good with me, because he is the king. But I'm going to be honest enough to talk about what the king actually did, which according to Ephesians 2:6 is to seat us in heavenly places with him, far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, and every name that is named. That was his choosing. That was his doing, not mine. I didn't earn it. I don't deserve it. But do I receive it? Yeah. And am I going to fight against it because a lot of Christian culture would encourage me to? No. I don't believe in Christian culture. I don't follow Christian culture. I want Bible culture. I want Jesus culture. I want what I understand to be the most true thing, not the thing that the mob will pat me on the back for. Oh, I'm just a dirty sinner scrambling around here in the dirt. That sounds great, right? These are all encouragements towards apathy, though. I can never ascend. I can never grow. I can never mature to a certain place. I'll always suck. So my marriage is always going to pretty much suck. My kids are always going to kind of suck. I'm always going to kind of suck because I'm sucky. Only Jesus is great. Yeah, I know he made me a new creation, but that's not actually a powerful thing that happened. It's actually just like I go to heaven when I die. That's just I don't have to burn in hell forever. Right? These are the lies that apathy tells. These are the storylines that a man who gets apathetic starts to believe. Man, I'm just trying to make it. Man, I'm just trying to pay the bills. So that's a dragon that has to be killed. Is it hard to do? Heck yeah. Is it a challenge? Absolutely. Is it risky? Yeah, of course. And that's what makes it worthy. That's what makes it exciting. That's what makes it dope. That's what actually makes it worth pursuing. Because something Jordan Peterson points out is dragons always have treasure. You know, in the stories, in the myths, the dragon is guarding a treasure. Why does this creature who doesn't need gold have all this gold? It's not important. But the point is, he has the treasure. So the hero of the story, you've got to leave the village and you've got to slay the dragon. Sometimes the dragon is, your own challenges, which is what we're talking about here. But if you want to expand your garden, and if you want this to be an absolute oasis, and I know you do, and if you don't want that, then please remove yourself from the family captain, because that's what the family captain's about. I don't want a group of apathetic guys who listen to me talk week after week and go, man, that was a good word. Yeah, the point is obedience. The point of conviction, the point of motivation, the point of inspiration is action and obedience. So don't just comfort yourself by saying, yeah, I like to listen to a lot of different stuff and I could get an A plus on the paper test. I don't care about the paper test. I care about the fruit in your life. So if you're here, you should want the ideal. You should want God's best. And you should want to slay this dragon. So how do we do that? How do we slay this dragon of apathy? You slay the dragon of apathy by focusing on leading yourself first. Leading yourself first. This is how you begin to kill the dragon of apathy. You've got to give yourself some self-starting wins. You've got to give yourself a fighting chance. You've got to give yourself the slightest glimmer of hope. But If you stay in the dungeon, if you stay hidden in your basement, if you stay hidden in your cellar, referencing our medieval times here, while the dragon's out flying around, you're just like, it's okay. You know what? I'm glad he lit the crops on fire. You know, it's going to be good for the earth. That'll help the soil in time. And making all these justifications for the bad things that are happening instead of actually doing the work that's hard, training yourself to fight a dragon. What does that look like for you? You've heard me say it a million times. If you don't get up with the alarm clock right away, congratulations, you've got your first assignment. Your first captain's action is to just start to do that thing alone. What else does it look like to lead yourself? Organizing your day, organizing your week. What else does it look like to lead yourself? Creating margin for your household so that you're not just chock full schedule. You have no room to breathe. You have no room to function. You have no room to rest. You have no room to enjoy your family. You have no room to build anything because the world has already taken control because you have yielded it. You've yielded all of your control. You've yielded all of your authority. What else does it look like to lead yourself? It looks like bringing order to chaos. What's chaotic in your life? You got Wendy's wrappers all over your car? Hey, that's a great opportunity. That's a great opportunity to start in your self-leadership, to stop being apathetic, to stop saying, that doesn't matter, to stop kidding yourself, to think that the little things don't matter. The little things do matter. If you are faithful with little, Jesus said you'll be faithful with much. Yeah, but the little things don't matter. You're wrong. Jesus says that the little things do matter. And if you're unfaithful with little, you'll be unfaithful with much. So most men who are I think all men who are unfaithful with little, they say, "Man, I would do better if I had. I would do better if I had." But brother, you will never have because you won't be faithful. If God can't find you faithful with the 10 talents, he's never going to give you the 10 cities. Man, if I had 10 cities, I would take it super serious and I would lead so well and it would be so amazing. Yeah, except that it's not true. Except that you wouldn't. We have all kinds of things that we're tempted to believe that aren't true. Abraham told that to the rich man in hell. He said, "Father Abraham, please send Lazarus back to warn my brothers. Raise him from the dead, send him back to warn my brothers so they won't come here." And Abraham told him, they have Moses and they have the prophets. They've got the scriptures. So that they can actually know not to come here, and so they can actually know about the kingdom of God. And the rich man said, No. But if they saw someone raised from the dead, they would believe. And he said, no, if they won't believe the scriptures, then they won't believe someone raised from the dead. We see that all the time. And the same thing applies here. You think you know what's true. Man, if my wife was more squared away, man, if my wife was just submissive. John Michael, you don't understand. Your wife is submissive, dude. Your kids are obedient. Oh, really? Tell me more. Please, I'm so interested to hear this storyline that you've told yourself about my family that you don't know. And the day and the place that the good fruit that we're enjoying now, you're judging our day 10,000 and you don't because you don't know what day one looked like. So nobody enjoys the cities without first being faithful with the talents. But this is what you have to do. If you don't tell your life where to go, you will wonder where it went. What dragon are we killing? We're killing the dragon of apathy. How are we doing it? By leading ourselves. That's your starting point. You've got to get some motion started. You've got to start taking some small actions and begin to get some wins. Once you start to get some wins, you start to feel good. And dang, dude, it feels good to feel good. I know. That's very anti-Christian culture as well. Brother, feelings don't matter, brother. Only the scriptures matter. I know, man, you're just too spiritual for me. But for the rest of you guys who actually like to feel good as well, you would agree that, man, it sure feels nice to feel nice, right? But confidence doesn't come from nothing. Confidence has to come from something. Confidence comes from mastery. Mastery comes from knowing what the heck you're doing. Knowing what the heck you're doing starts somewhere. And you do know some things that you can do. Talk to guys all the time. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. First of all, what's your plan? I don't have a plan. So you're literally going to let the dragon keep destroying your life and your family. I don't know what to do. It is such a childish response. It is such an irresponsible response. And it is the evidence. It is the evidence of why the man is experiencing what he's experiencing right now. The fact that he refuses to take action because he claims he has no idea what action to take. And it's not that he has no idea what action to take. It's that he despises the small actions. And because he despises the small actions, he will never be faithful enough to walk out the big ones. There's still a dragon, brother, no matter what you think or feel. So maybe it's the Wendy's wrappers you start with. Maybe it's the alarm clock. But you know that you can start somewhere, and starting small is starting. Next dragon to slay. I gotta move along here, man. Next dragon to slay. Thinking about family leadership. Now we're thinking about sex and marriage, more of like the romance between you and your wife, the intimacy, the connection, the polarity, the masculine and the feminine. They are such a thing, by the way. That's another thing we're big on here in the Family Captain is masculine and feminine polarity, not androgynous human blobs. Okay? So if you're into androgynous humans, then please remove yourself from the group. It's not a good fit. I'm gonna offend you all the time. I don't want to. I'd love for you to see God's good truth and enjoy it. But again, the world's working against you. The church is too, unfortunately, on that one. So anyway, second dragon we're gonna slay is unattractiveness. This is a dragon. Comes from apathy, but unattractiveness. What does that look like? And is this a dragon I'm dealing with? I don't know. Have you let your physical health go? Are you emotionally needy? Are you generally irresponsible? Do you defer the weights of life to your wife? Or do you conveniently share 50% of the weights of life with her? Well, brother, what's wrong with 50%? Well, what's wrong with sharing 50% of the weight with your children? Well, they're my kids, man. Are you saying my wife's a child? No, but she's not a husband. I am saying that. I am saying there's a difference between a head in a relationship and a not a head in a relationship. Not trying to be provocative, just trying to be simple. This is really old stuff here. None of this is new, by the way. So, deferring to your wife and sharing all the weights of life with her, is that your default go-to? Do you ignore romance? Well, I try to be romantic, but you fail miserably in these other four categories that I just listed, and for some reason I just can't figure out why she won't respond. It's her. She's changed. This is what it looks like if you're dealing with that dragon. Let me pull up comments here. See if you guys have anything coming on. Victim mentality. Love that analogy. Wow, I only control me. Late, but I have arrived. Noah, what's up, brother? We vowed no matter what, there will be 100% and 0% at times. Yeah, I don't know what she's going to do, but I know what I'm going to do. Okay, cool. Let me keep going. We're 23 minutes in here. So, unattractiveness, this is a dragon you've got to slay, and you've got to stop blaming your wife for it. This is where we're thinking about being the man your wife wants to have sex with instead of the man that she has to have sex with. Our default, our go-to, of course, is to blame her. We get it honest. It comes from our father, Adam. Lord, it's this woman. Jermichael, no, dude, you don't get it, dude. My wife has no sex drive, dude. No, dude, you don't understand. Brother, please just trust me and that I do. Please just trust. I believe that your wife has no sex drive. I 100 bazillion percent believe you. What you don't recognize yet, what you don't realize yet, is the profound influence you have on your wife's sex drive. Nah, dude, I tried. I bought her a rose one time, and I took her to dinner, and it still wasn't a miracle fix. Obviously, I'm teasing and poking at you a little bit and building some straw men and knocking them over. But I'm not too terribly off base. Our temptation is to blame our wives and say, man, she's just always tired. She's just never in the mood. She's always touched out. I think it's just our season of life. Be careful. You might be making an excuse. Be careful. You might just be letting this dragon continue to fly around. Man, I know I've gained weight. It's just a dad bod. You know, chicks dig a dad bod. Really? There's another lie that you're telling yourself. No, man, they do. I'm not arguing with you that an insecure person wants to be with another person who doesn't make them feel any more insecure about themselves. But generally, you and I both know what physical attractiveness looks like in a man. So let's do the best we can with what we have where we are. This is not shame or condemnation, but this is a mirror for you to look into and say, hey, is this the kind of body my wife would be attracted to? Do I lead myself well? Back to our first dragon. Once you kill that first dragon of apathy, you find that your sex life with your wife, it isn't one thing, it's everything. And this is what I teach guys in the Family Captain. We look at a lot of different dimensions. If your sex life is, boiling at 212 degrees in the Family Captain program, not to be confused with the free group here that you're in, enjoy the content, but in the Family Captain program, you learn about how to actually raise the water temperature in every single different way. And all these things, oh, that raised it 20 degrees. That raised it 3 degrees. That raised it 70 degrees. There's all these different things we find so that you keep the water temperature of your marriage up at 211. And now at any given moment, your strong masculine initiation becomes that little bit of extra heat that we needed to tip the scale over so that we can have passionate, loving, wonderful sex in our marriage with our wives. Go back to my notes here. So unattractiveness is the dragon we're killing. We are going to make ourselves more attractive. We're no longer going to blame our wives. We're going to build attraction by doing what? Just the opposite of the things we just said. By taking better care of your health and the way that you look. By being emotionally stable and consistent. 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 By being built on Christ. That has to come from somewhere. It's not fake it till you make it. You have to actually have a solid foundation. If you're going to be the lighthouse, that lighthouse isn't just floating out in the ocean. That lighthouse is set down onto some bedrock. It's not just in the sand of the ocean. They go down, 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 and there is so much foundation, something solid, something powerful, something that can't be moved by hurricanes in 100 years. Won't make a difference. That is attractive to a wife. That is attractive to the feminine. Why? It's polarity. The feminine is not the same as the masculine. The feminine is more reactive and changing. That is not a flaw. That is not a sin. That is design. So the feminine wants the stability of the masculine, the compassionate stability of the masculine, not the robotic, not the android, not the I am a man, I will fix you, little lady, but the compassionate stability that says, I got you, God's got us, everything's going to be all right. The one that can handle her heat, the one that can handle her hurricane. These things build attraction. Embracing strong, loving masculinity. That's how you kill this dragon. Embracing strong, loving masculinity. Again, getting away from this neutral center where we're both just life partners raising some kids, and one of us happens to have a penis, and one of us happens to have a vagina, but we actually go more towards the polarity of God's good design. The masculine, the protector, the provider, and the leader. And the leadership is what we're talking about here. So that's our second dragon. Second dragon we're going to kill is the dragon of unattractiveness. We're going to do it by building attraction. Third dragon, this one is the one I'm excited to talk to you about. I'm excited to talk to you about all of them. This is the dragon of short-sightedness. Short-sightedness, I mentioned that earlier. Not having a vision, drifting from week to week, from season to season. Reacting to whatever comes next. Oh, now it's Rona. Or now it's the Russians. Or now it's the gas prices. Or now it's whatever the news cycle tells me to care about next and rant about next. Or play whatever game comes next. Or be obsessed or be controlled. It's my work. It's my clients. It's my church. It's my wife. It's my kids. I'm just reacting to the problems of life. I'm short-sighted. What's your family vision, man? Tell me about y'all's purpose. I don't know. That sounds a little bit cheesy to me. Oh, really? Oh, well, sign me up for that cheese. I'll take an extra freaking dose and heap of that cheese because I know the good fruit. I guess cheese doesn't produce fruit, does it? But you know where I'm going there. A lot of guys are short-sighted, and they just, again, they act like it's normal. It's cool to be short-sighted, right? Because if you're any kind of man who leads with any kind of vision in his household, you don't want to be one of those cheesy families. Oh my goodness. They have like family values and stuff. Oh, cringe. What's the character from The Simpsons? The neighbor? Is it Ned Flanders? Oh my goodness, that's Ned Flanders. Oh, I don't want to be the Duggar family, which I don't want to be the Duggar family, by the way. But yeah, like it's so cool. The cynicism is so much cooler than vision. Why? Because vision requires something of me. Because it's hard to fight dragons. It's much easier to be convenient and to pat myself on the back for being a freaking Melvin and acting like, what choice do I have? And then mocking the man who's actually in the arena. Y'all gonna make me do it. Let's get Theodore. Let's get Teddy, because I don't want to botch the quote. I can get close. I can get close. Come on, Teddy, let's have it. It is not the critic who counts. It's not the Melvin who counts. It's not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming. But who does actually strive to do the deeds? Who knows the great enthusiasms, the great devotions? Who spends himself in a worthy cause? Who, at the best, knows in the end the triumph of high achievement? And who, at the worst, if he fails, at least he fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who know neither victory nor defeat. Sign me up for that. Cynicism pretends to be so strong. Cynicism pretends to be so manly, but it's not. It's cowardice. So if you're not fighting dragons, be careful. Pay attention, because you just might be a coward. I don't know where to begin. You would figure it out if you cared enough. If you cared enough, you'd find a freaking way. You wouldn't just let the dragon get closer and closer to your kingdom, to your kingdom, to your kingdom, to your kingdom. I'm sorry, family. Is that what you're going to tell them? That's what you're going to tell the kids as the house is on fire? I'm sorry. I don't know how to kill dragons. Okay, Dad. Seems reasonable enough. I'm sorry, wife. You wouldn't help me kill the dragon. I'm sorry. The pastor wouldn't help me kill the dragon. Nobody taught me. Seems reasonable enough. Goodbye, family. Goodbye, family culture. Goodbye, marriage. Goodbye, kids. Sorry, grandkids. Granddad, why is our family so screwed up? Why are we broken, like, generationally? I didn't know how to. No one taught me how to fight a dragon. I don't know that stuff. All right. Well, nobody taught me either, so I guess we'll just keep on keeping on, right? Maybe the dragons will be merciful. No. That's not what family captains think. Of course, I guess family captains, we're not fighting dragons. We're fighting sea monsters. The Kraken? Is that a sea monster? So we're fighting sea monsters. These are the three sea monsters that we've got to kill to protect our crew, to protect our ship, to protect our family. Go back to my notes here, making sure I'm not missing anything. Oh, so how do you kill this one? This dragon of short-sightedness? You kill this one by seeing the future. The dragon of short-sightedness is trying to prevent you from seeing the future, from imagining the future, from getting your hopes up, brother. Man, get your hopes up. The high calling of family leadership is freaking incredible. It is your purpose. It is your calling. I don't know what my purpose is. I don't know what my calling is. I don't know what my passion is. This is it, dude. This is it. This is the thing. There may be some other peripheral things that feed into this, but this is the thing. This is your high calling. This is your garden, Adam. Your wife is your Eve. You get to love. You get to lead. You get to build something for the glory of God in the way that He has put it in your heart to build it out, to expand the dominion, to see God's name be glorified, to make His kingdom come and His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is your calling. This is the thing. You're gonna go make money doing that? Go for it, brother. Crush it. Make all the freaking money, baby. Let's fund kingdom work. Let's fund our families. Let's be the patriarch who blesses and provides for everybody. Go for it. I hope you make all of the money. Crush it. But that is not your whole purpose. That could be a part of it, right? Abraham had a whole household, lots of people, lots of responsibilities, lots of flocks. He was a protector. He was a provider. He was a leader. In the same way, this is your high calling. You've got to think bigger than your house, than your freaking mortgage, than your J-O-B. Than your wife's demands. Because if you follow your wife's demands, you will stay short-sighted. Why? Because your wife is not. Here's one thing I know about your wife. She's not a husband. I'm certain of it. I'm sure of this. Your wife is a woman. What's that supposed to mean? It means it is not her responsibility to lead your family or to lead you. It is not her calling, it is not her responsibility, and she has not been assigned the authority for it either. In her insecurity for what's happening and what's not happening, a lot of times, she will attempt to. It is a heavy burden on her shoulders. It fits her awkwardly, and she doesn't typically do it well. Well, my wife's a powerful woman. Well, congratulations, and you're still neglecting your duty and your responsibility. I hope you have an incredible wife. What jackass wouldn't want an incredible wife? What captain doesn't want a brilliant, wonderful, wise, godly, intelligent, hardworking first officer? Only an insecure moron. So I hope that you have all that in your wife, and yet you are still responsible to lead your family into the future. You've got to see the future. You've got to begin to dream about God's ideal. You've got to begin to take steps to take your family there. You've got to start living with a larger purpose because God has one for you. And it is bigger than the laundry. And it is bigger than you helping out when you get home from work because you're a nice guy. That was not a claim to not help out when you get home from work because you're a nice guy. But don't kid yourself into thinking you're moving the big rocks for your household because you emptied the dishwasher. Sure, empty the dishwasher. Now, anyway, back to the big stuff that's also still on your shoulders that no one else is responsible to move except you. It's your job to see the future. Let me look at some comments. Is this helping anybody? Is this encouraging anybody? If it is, say, I'm encouraged. Give me some feedback here. Somebody said, I can only control me. I'm super excited to just get home and be the man I should be, to live being the man that God has created me to be. Love it, brother. Wait, let me rephrase that. To be the man God has created me to be 24/7, not just when I get home, right? Yes, Melvin seems easier at first. Melvin's always living in the moment, though. Melvin's like, well, is Becky mad at me or is Karen mad at me? Well, I'm just going to make her happy. Melvin's always going to do the easiest thing. He will not embrace the discipline to enjoy the harvest. So all discipline seems unpleasant at the time, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness for those who have been trained by it. But Melvin's like, man, that's hard work. We're not going there. I'm not doing that. Good. You guys been encouraged, been helped? Awesome. So, as I promised, at the end here, I'd give you the opportunity for those of you who would say, man, John Michael, you've told me a lot about the what, but you still haven't broken down the how for me. Well, yeah, the how is not, I can't deliver it that short and sweet. The how is a robust 12-week program where we would work together and I would walk you through what it looks like. So, the Family Captain is designed, the Family Captain program, the coaching program is designed for you to become, most importantly, the greatest man that you've ever known. And yes, also that your wife and kids have ever known. Yes, so that you can lead your family with strength and love, that you can actually lead like Jesus and not just only be shown the nice guy things that Jesus did and never actually be shown his strength, never know what it looks like to actually love yourself in that same process, to know how to practically walk this stuff out day in and day out in a way that's sustainable, in a way that's repeatable, in a way that your wife will respond to, in a way that your kids will be blessed by, in a way that you feel a healthy and beautiful pride and joy for. So that you know the big idea revelation and the boots on the ground. We call them captain's actions, the things that you will actually go execute on. And all this is delivered to you in a way that you're able to process, and at the same time, you have access to me throughout the entire 12 weeks where I work with you and I answer your specific questions every single week. You're also involved in the rest of the brotherhood with the other family captains who have, they've got skin in the game, real men, not just guys in this group, but guys who are actually in the family captain, what we call the fleet. Guys who are in the 12 weeks as well, walking through it, cheering for one another, encouraging one another, and walking out this journey together. This is where you bring your problems. You try to stump me, but you fail because I do not let you get stuck, and we always find a way forward, and we always find a way to win because the Lord always has a way forward. God specializes in finding a way forward. If something's dead, he's still unimpressed. He specializes in resurrection. So if your marriage is at a 7 and you're like, man, things are fine, things are fine, things are fine, and you want more than fine, then the family captain is probably going to be an awesome fit. If you're 7, 8, 9, even if you're like, man, we're at a 10, well, good news, bro. Good news, the scale goes to 100. If you ever get to 100, the Lord will show you that the scale goes to 1,000. So if you're looking for that next level, this is for you. I do also take on a limited amount of guys who are in more of a crisis situation. Man, things are bad, things are rough, things are shaky right now. Sometimes those guys require more personal attention, so I take on a limited amount of those. So we would analyze your situation and your case to see which one you were and to make sure it would be a good fit. So if you're interested in that, then let me know. Drop the word captain here in the comments to this video, or you can just shoot me a private message and just say, hey JM, let's hop on a quick call and we'll talk about it and see if it makes sense for us to even have a longer conversation about the program. So that's what's up. Let's see. Heck yeah, super encouraged. I have the wife who whined and cried and complained and accused until she got her way for me to stop working out. Yeah. So there you go. That was the hurricane, and you were the lighthouse, and she was like, stop, 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 stop. And all you had to do was just, keep going, of course. She got you to stop working out. So unfortunately, she tested you and you failed in that test. You caved in, and she was like, okay, I do have control over this man, which unfortunately, Colin, killed attraction even more. It dialed down her attractiveness to you because if I can control this man, and if this man can't even stand up to me, then this man can't stand up for me. So this is what's happening in the feminine. She's not doing this consciously. So you don't go home and accuse her of doing all this. This is just a feminine test that's always going to happen. It's never going to stop. The only solution is for you to maintain frame and stay strong. So my fight is not flesh and blood. I know how to pray now. Good. I'm glad you know how to pray now. Yeah, we're never wrestling with flesh and blood, but it is super helpful to understand God's good design for gender, because a lot of times the church has been clueless, and I've seen tons of guys struggling in their marriages for a long times, and everybody's just like, brother, just pray, brother, just pray. And I'm like, well, yeah, we should pray, but do you even know how to pray? Do you even know what to pray? Because a lot of times I can look into a guy's situation and say, brother, you need to pray for revelation, and whatever, like a guy who's afraid of his wife, brother, you need to pray for the fear of God. That's what you need to pray for you, not for your wife. You need to pray that you would begin to fear God more, because you don't. How do you know? Well, because you fear your wife, because you fear man, because you fear whoever. So if I fear a person, I mean, it just means I don't fear God. And now I know how to pray instead of, God, just do something. Well, it's going to be me. It's going to be my flesh that needs to be crucified. It's going to be my heart that needs to be encouraged with the word. Now working on becoming deliverance minister. She is going against that, but she is no longer the God of my life. Yeah, she's no longer the God of your life. Being a minister, so y'all been separated for 2 years though. That, quick red flag for me, brother, is are you qualified to be in ministry? So I don't know what that looks like. Every Christian should be a deliverance minister. So I'm assuming you mean something more than that. So yeah, make sure you're biblically qualified. Your own household has to be in order before you can be in any kind of ministry role, I would say. So anyway, stuff to consider. Love you guys. If you're interested in Family Captain, hit me up. Otherwise, go slay some dragons, baby. That's where the gold is. We want the fruit. We want the fruit. We want the fruit. We don't want to be destroyed. We don't want a neutral life. We don't want a vague life. We don't want a level 6, level 7, level 8. I don't want a level 9 life. We want to continue to crush it and move forward. That means you will have to fight. You will have to face the thing that you're afraid of. You will have to do the thing that you don't like. You will have to do the thing that makes you uncomfortable. Whatever the thing that seems like the biggest fear, the biggest giant in your life, guess what? Your gold, your breakthrough is behind that. That's part of God's good design. I'm unequipped. I can't do this on my own. Yes, exactly. Welcome to the point. Of course, that in our weakness is where God's strength really shows up. So, love you guys. Until next time, go captain your ship. All right, well, now it's time to take some action. What can you go do with what the Lord is stirring in your heart, with what you're learning, with what you're hearing? And if you want some help with that, making it practical, that's exactly what we do at The Family Captain. So you should go to thefamilycaptain.com, where you can hear all about our monthly subscription called The Expedition, or you can see if you're a good fit for our elite 12-week program, where you get to work personally with me. We put you on the fast track for family leadership and sex and marriage, so you can bless and transform your family culture forever. Until next time, go captain your ship.